right after the book of Proverbs, written by Song of Solomon. Today I'm going to address most of my remarks as if I'm talking to these four graduates, but I'm talking to the whole congregation. Used to be in America, years past, every church had a baccalaureate. The baccalaureate was a time that a pastor and a church honored all their graduates and gave them a challenge. Somehow in our separation of church and state, we separated God out. And it's a shame. My home church, we had a baccalaureate, and all the other churches in the area canceled their evening service, and we all went down to the public high school, and Christ was preached in the auditorium. Can you imagine that today? And that's the way it was. But we'll make this your baccalaureate. Make this a time where you can, your pastor can talk to you. I can remember my graduation just like it was yesterday, but it was 1972. Wow, it's a lot of years ago. My church family really backed me up. My pastor preached our baccalaureate. The class voted. We had a class of 70-some kids, and our pastor had been very active in the area, and they voted to have him come and speak. And what a privilege it was. And I got a chance to give the prayer. And another person from our church got a chance to read the scripture and a lot of different things that were out there that we did. It was a very special day. Do you remember the day you graduated? Pastor Steve and I were talking about, quoting Pastor Sexton from Crown. He said, life is full of a series of new beginnings. A lot of new things. You know, teenagers, you're going to start again in 1,000 ways. You're going to start again. You'll be a freshman. You just go from being a senior, and you're back to a freshman. Or you're going to be in the bottom of the list in the Navy. You got to work your way up, okay? You're going to skin your head off, all that kind of stuff. You're at the bottom. But then other things will come. You'll find somebody get married. You'll start different jobs. You'll have careers. Those careers will change. The last I knew, they said the average person will change career generally 5 times or more in their lifetime. It used to be 50 years ago, you had a career for your whole adult life. 5 times now. Some of you are on your 4th or 5th time. Amen? You say, Pastor, 8 or 9. A lot of new beginnings. Churches are full of new beginnings, new pastors. People come and go. Well, that's a hard thing when people come and go, isn't it? You love them. And we have people come and go. But it's a time of new beginnings. It's a time to serve God and to pour our heart out in new places and new things. I think of today of the tens, thousands, and maybe even tens of thousands of missionaries that have gone like waves across the world. I think of the pastors and the deacons that have gone out, the Sunday school teachers that row by row have been replaced. That one man taught that first, second, third grade boys for years and finally retired, and here comes his replacement. Here's a youth pastor serving till he couldn't handle it any longer, and then somebody else came along, and here's a choir director that sang and led, and somebody else came. But God has brought a new person and another person and a bus route and etc. Times of new beginnings that God brings. But it all comes down to the same principles of serving the Lord Jesus Christ. We approach our life as if we have already died to self and that we live unto Christ. So when I think of life, I think of my everlasting life. Colossians 3 says that we're to set our affection on things above, not on things on this earth. So as Pastor Stephen said very straightforwardly and well, search for God's will. That is key in your life. You're safer in the will of God than any other place in your life. God can bless you if you're in his will. There's another thought that I would have for you this morning. It comes out of our hymn book. You don't need to turn there, but it's said in a song, give of your best to the master. Give of the strength of your youth. Armed with the sword of salvation, join in the battle for truth. Jesus has set the example. His life for others he gave. Give him your loyal devotion. Give him the best that you have. And could I say that is a wonderful, excellent piece of advice. So Ecclesiastes chapter 12, with that as our background. Verse 1. Could you read the first verse with me out loud? Ready, get set, go. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them, shall we pray. Heavenly Father, help us as we speak, preach this morning. May you help us to have your ability. Help us to sense your presence. Lord, we can plan, we can try to think about a direction, but Lord, it is so special when we sense that you and your fullness through the Holy Spirit, like the Shekinah glory of old, coming upon the temple and upon the tabernacle. May you meet in this auditorium afresh this morning. Fill me with you. Help our ears to be open. Help our heart be ready to apply. In Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen. Young people, it says here, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Boy, I used to remember people talking about your youth. Boy, as I'm getting older, I understand you appreciate your youth. My mind wants to do a lot of things, but my body won't do it. And about the time that I get complaining about getting old, Dr. Hodges is exactly 25 years older than me. And he says, you ain't gone through nothing yet, Rich. And he reminds me that youth is a gift. And you know, youth is a gift. I really have tried to live my life that way with all my heart, with all my soul, with all that I can. And yet I don't know about you, but I feel like I could have done more. I always wish I had done more, but I've tried. When I was getting ready to go out my first year in neighborhood Bible time as an evangelist, Brother Holmscher came off and he asked for an application for those that were interested, and he filled out like 4 pages of all these technical questions. The last question was one that made me think, and I waited 2 days before I could turn it in, and it said, what is your philosophy of life? Well, I'm not, philosophy of life? I'm just a teenager. I don't know what my philosophy of life is. Well, I thought I want to fill this thing out honestly, and I sat and prayed about it, and I remember writing it down just like it was yesterday. I want to live my life in such a way for the Lord Jesus Christ that I don't regret one day. And I'm not sorry for one thing that I did. And I think that's, I've tried to live to that. You know, I thought about that a lot, and I've tried to live about that way since. And years ago, when I was on the board of Neighborhood Bible Time, I got a chance to go to the headquarters. And do you know they kept all those records from 40 years ago? And so I said, could I look at my application? And there it was. And I said, could I take it? And there it was written. You know, that teenagers made me stop and think how I was going to live my life. Because up to that point, I was thinking about it somewhat, but I wasn't focused. I want to live my life in such a way that God, I'm not going to be sorry for it when I stand before you. Not regret one day in life. Now, I wish I could tell you that I'd hit that 100%, but that's been my goal. He says here, number one, serve him while you're young. Serve him while you're young. Can I say to the rest of us, I don't care where you are in life. You may be the 10-year-old. You may be the 40-year-old. You may be the 70-year-old. Serve him with the time you have. It says in verse 1, serve him when thou, before the years draw nigh. Verse 2, while the sun or the light or the moon and the stars be not darkened. 2 weeks from now, I'm going to have a surgery. They're going to do cataract surgery. And life is getting darker by the month. And you know, whether it was that, I think of Isaac in the Old Testament, that he had to feel his sons because he couldn't see. The days were darkening. It was getting toward the end of his life. Serve him while there's plenty of sunlight. While you've got opportunities around you everywhere. Life is full. Embrace it for the Lord. Claim it. Don't waste your life away. Oh, teenagers, you know as well as I do, it's so easy to waste days, weeks on an Xbox. I wonder if we added up in an average youth group of good young people how many thousands of hours are literally... I'm not against games, please. I'm not preaching that. But invest your life while you're young, while you have energy, while there's spring in your step. I watch people walk across. Now that I've got a sort of a broken foot, my legs aren't cooperating, I walk like this, and I watch young people, boom, 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 and I mean, they hop around. And I go, if I did that very much, I'd be in traction. While you have youth. While you have youth, it's okay to enjoy life. While you have strength, it says in that verse, while you have the ability to serve. Look at verse 5. And when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail. What's he talking about? He says, don't be afraid. Serve him and have courage. Step out there. Don't be afraid. Some of you are, I'm glad, Daniel, you're heading off into the Navy. You guys are going down to Pensacola. Others of us have things. Don't be afraid to embrace what God calls you to do. Step out there and seize God's will. And boy, God's will has some unusual places. Can I talk to the parents? When I first came to Houston, one of the things that a couple pastors told me that the old Texan Houstonians, they didn't want their kids to go more than about 20 miles away from the ranch. And when God called them off to go to Bible college or called them to be a missionary, they would grab a hold of their coattails and say, don't you leave town. And they would limit their young people and the potential of doing what God wanted them to do. Parents, let your kids live for Jesus. Let go of them. Sometimes people say, well, I could move to Pensacola, and I think they have a nursing program down there, and I'm a nurse, and I could go down there, and my kids could live with me for four. Don't do it. Let go of your kids. Let them experience in a positive, good way those first steps out of your house. And it's a scary time. God and they are out there, and you're just on your knees here at home. But teenagers, while you're young and while you have strength and while you have the courage, don't be afraid of life. I know some people that are so busy counting up all the things that could happen that they never do anything. Step out there. If God is dealing in your life to go forward, don't be afraid of it. Embrace it. Have the courage to do God's will. Look at verse 6 and 7 at the end of verse 5. Because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets, or ere the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. What's all that talking about? Your body's going to die. And it's like this bowl, it's broken, and your spirit's going to fly away. This silver cord, the Bible talks about, this is like a cord that God ties your spirit to this old body. And one day God's going to reach down, he's going to snip that little cord, and your soul, your spirit's going to fly right back to God. Isn't that an amazing thing? Look at verse 7. What are they going to do with the old body? Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Serve him while you have life. Serve him while you have life. Oh, I've brought many funerals in the last 40 years. Life, when it ends, many times not expected. One of the hardest funerals I ever had is a family we were ministering to in our bus ministry, and baby had sudden crib death syndrome. They don't know why the baby died, just died in the crib. I'll never forget going to that funeral. What a, all the potential of a beautiful little child the day before, but it was suddenly gone. And I remember they didn't have any money. This funeral home was very good to provide most of the expenses. But in order to save money, they had to do their own thing. And the father, I sat there and bawled. He picked up the casket and he carried it all the way. He wouldn't let anybody help him. And he brought it to the thing and he placed it down in and he buried it himself. Oh, you talk about kill your heart. You know, life ends. I could go on with others like that. 18-year-olds, 22-year-olds. We think of 80-year-olds, 90-year-old people dying. You don't know when life's going to end. Serve him while you're alive. Serve him while you're alive. I've told this story before. There was a man that was very sweet that came to our church. His name was Marvin. Marvin, as he came to our church, he was already 65 years old. He'd had sort of a stroke, and so he couldn't quite understand all of his words. And I can remember Marvin, he said, I want to serve the Lord. He said, I got saved about 30 years ago up in Michigan. We moved to Houston for a job. I've been here, and I've been saying to God, I'm going to serve you when I retire. I'm going to serve you when I retire. He was pretty excited. His wife retired 2 weeks or 3 weeks before he did. She went up to Michigan, got their place all lined up. They'd already reported to the pastor they had been saved under 30 years ago. Said, I want to just go out and visit and help you and do anything I can. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm so excited. Marvin retired. We said goodbye to Marvin. And Marvin, about a week later, his wife called me and said, I woke up this morning. Marvin, wake up. Wake up, Marvin. Marvin was with Jesus. And I think so many times of Marvin saying, when I retire, I'm going to serve Jesus. When I retire, when I get there. You don't know you're going to have that time. The only time that you know you have is right now. Serve him while you have life. Could I say to the rest of us, they have, wow, a beautiful life. 17, 18 years old, looking at all these bright future. But so do many of us here. 30-year-old, 40-year-old, 50-year-old. Maybe you are getting ready to retire. And could I say something to the retire-year-olders? Boy, you can serve God in a lot of neat ways. Let me tell you a story about a lady named Miriam Faust. Miriam was married to a man that wouldn't serve God. She was submissive to him, but he would not serve God. She wanted to serve God, but one day, just as they got ready to retire, she woke up and her husband was dead. And she said, now I can serve God. Do you know what she did? First thing she did is she went off to college and got the rest of her Bible college education. Then she went to Taiwan and she began to work and build a ministry among children. And before long, she won this young man to the Lord. She trained him and through different things, helped him go through Bible college. She's now about 70 years old, 72 years old. They start a church. And by the time she's 75, that church over in Taiwan, which is difficult, is now running 70 people. By the time she's 80 years old, they started a Bible Institute. By the time she's 80, you get the idea. I got to meet her one day. I always heard about Miriam Faust. Boy, what a lady she was. I was really shocked. I was in the hallway in Bible college, and I heard this person walk on clippity-clop, clippity-clop. And I looked around and said, that's Miriam Faust. She's this tall. And she wore that perfume that ladies used to wear when they're 90 years old. You could smell her coming and you could smell her long after she was there. And you know, she's been with Jesus for a long time and you could tell she has still made a big difference in her generation. She didn't start till she was 60-some. And you know what was neat? She never had to raise any missionary support. She lived on her retirement. Isn't that pretty cool? Listen, serve God while you have life. Don't make excuses. I'm going to do this first, this first. You may never get to God's will for your life. Serve him while you can. Look at verse 13. Look at verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, and with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil, what's the whole duty of man? Fear God. Verse 14, God will bring us all into judgment. Could I say to you, serve him so that you're ready to face the judgment. We don't get saved by good works. Will we all agree with that? We're saved by faith in the work of Jesus Christ. He died. He paid for our sin. His blood was totally sufficient. But why do we work then? The Bible says one day when we stand before him, we'll present it to the Lord Jesus. And God's going to look over our life, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And the rewards will be given accordingly. Thursday night, we had in this auditorium, the kids who were in their Christian school stood up here and the rewards were given to them. Some of them had a stack like this. Da-da, 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 da-da. Okay, they got everything. And then you really sort of feel bad about the one that says, they attended. And I tell you, our teachers try to make it so it's not hard on a child. But you know, if a kid didn't do anything, he didn't do anything. You can't manufacture it out of the air. Can you imagine when you face the graduation judgment before God? And he looks at your life and he says, you were 18, you were 20, you were 42, and you just wasted your life. You never tipped your mind or your eye or your will towards my mind at all. Live your life so that you're ready to stand before your Creator. What does verse 13 say? It starts with the fear of God. We ought to realize that God requires of a Christian that they be active. I know we're not saved by works, and it sounds like almost what I'm preaching says that, but God wants his children to be busy in his kingdom. Can I ask us, have you been busy for God? Some of us have graduated a long time ago. How's your resume for upcoming? How's your sheet of all the pedigrees of things you've done? How's it coming along? Are you serving him? Teenagers, you are at a major turning point in your life. We call often graduation commencement because you're beginning life. At 17 or 18, the direction you take, extrapolated over 50 years, is going to take you in a direction. Choose wisely which way you go. Make sure it's God's will that you're seeking. What direction you sail for will end up determining which port you dock in. You don't get there by accident. You have to set course. Sweet Tea ended her commencement address with, only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Ecclesiastes tells us then, serve him while you're young. Serve him while you have the strength. Serve him while you have the courage. Serve him while you have life. Serve him while you can make a difference at the judgment. Turn over with me, please, to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 11. Deuteronomy, chapter 11. Look at verse 13. And it shall come to pass, Deuteronomy 11:13, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give to you, and you could fill in the blanks. Let me give you a whole other set of challenges. Serve him while you're young. Now, in this passage, it says, serve him with all your heart. That's attitude. Serve him with all your heart. I don't like to play on a volleyball team or a baseball team where other people are saying, Man, I like to win. Anybody else here that you're a winner? How many people are whiners? Oh, no. Winners look close. Okay. I like to win. And when people are sort of lollygagging and fooling around, I say, man, come on. Get serious. I want to win. They're just fooling around, let the ball hit the ground. I want to win for Jesus Christ. Serve him with all your heart. What an impact you can make in your generation. If you look through the Bible, what God did with one individual in different generations, one can make a difference. And God enjoys using the least likely guy. Corinthians tells us, not many noble, not many wise, not all that whole list of strong people, but God's chosen the weak things. Boy, I qualify, don't you? God, help me to serve you with all my heart, to give you everything. There's a song I would save a little time, but in our hymn book, give me, Lord, a servant's heart. You will make a big impact in this world if you go through it giving instead of taking. Boy, isn't that true? We get into life, what's in it for me? I want. I tell you what, people that give, God gives to them back manyfold. Learn to be a servant. Serve the Lord with all your heart. I have a lot of verses. I'm not going to go through them. But it tells us in 1 Samuel to serve him diligently. Diligently means day by day, detail by detail. You keep focused on it. You're diligent. You're seeking God's will. And you're refocusing. You slipped up. You get back. You're focused on it. Another in Joshua 22 says, you love God, you walk with God, you cleave your heart to God, you serve with God. Walk, love, cleave, serve, walk. Walking's the idea that I've got my direction and I'm off the bench and I'm walking, I'm in the game for God. I love him, I do it for the right purpose, not me, I love him. I cleave to him, I always stick with God. He is my absolute choice. Whenever there's a push and a shove, God will win. I've made up my mind ahead of time. Don't ask me to decide against God because God has already got my heart. I will cleave to him and I will die for him. I will lay my life down in service. And that's what service is. It's dying to self for the benefit of somebody else. Be a servant. 1 Samuel tells us, don't turn aside after another king. Children of Israel, God was, boy, thing after thing after thing, that promised land, milk and honey flowing, all the good things. And then they got looking around. The other nations have a king. Boy, it'd be nice if we had a king as some prophet or whatever. We want a king for status. And so they went to Samuel and said, tell God we want a king. Somebody said, are you sure you know? Tell God we want a king. Well, Samuel felt a little bit rejected. But do you know how God felt? They were rejecting him. Boy, Samuel said, are you sure? Okay, you're going to get a king. But you'll be sorry that you did. By the time Saul, the first king of Israel, was done, the people were very sorry that he was king. Have only one king, King Jesus. I serve no other king. A few years ago, President Bush was president, we had an attorney general that was a Christian. And boy, the press scooped up a statement that he made. They said, are you serving the president? They said, yes, we're serving the president. But I have no king but Jesus. He's a religious fanatic. Whoa, we can't have a guy like that in the office. And look at the mess the other guys have made. Don't seek any other king. I don't care who you're working for or where you're going to school or whether you're in the Navy or whatever it is. Your boss, your Lord, your number one should always be Jesus. You be true to him and he'll be true to you. He'll never let you down. Keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then at the end of that passage, it says, serve him in truth with all your heart. In our Sunday school classes, one of the men just said, one of the biggest problems in character is when you're a hypocrite. Everybody thinks you're one thing, but behind the scenes, you're another thing. Can I say to you teenagers, be real for God. If you are at a point in your life right now where you know you're a little bit double-faced, deal with it this summer. Can I say that to all of us? If we're not what people think we are towards God and how we say, boy, everyone, that guy loves the Lord, but if they really knew me, serve him for real. Inside and outside, put him number one. And then the last area is found in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. Would you turn there, please, with me? Hebrews chapter 11. Serve him while you're young. Serve him with all your heart. Oh, if you know your Bible, you know what the last point is. You turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Serve him with faith. This is the faith chapter. Let me just run through a few points in here really quick. First of all, let's define faith. Number verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Is the evidence of things not seen. Number one, serve him with faith. It will bring things to pass that nobody could ever have thought would happen in your life. Faith is not a dream. Faith is actually evidence and substance of God's will forming in your life. Verse 2 tells us, that's how you're going to obtain a good report. These all in the chapter obtained a good report because they walked by faith. You want to get a good report someday, young people? Walk by faith. Some of you are trying to decide, where am I going to go to college? Doesn't always add up with the bills. You learn to find God's will, obey him, all through your life. And that's how you're going to obtain a good report. Verse 3 says, by faith we understand that God's in charge of creating the worlds and etc. By faith, you're going to understand life. Relatives will look at you walking by faith and say, are you nuts? That's what they said to Abraham. Where are you going? Oh, I'm going to a place I don't know to build a city that I don't know so I can have my family I don't know. Did you fall and bump your head on a rock, Abraham? You're going to a place you don't know for a city that doesn't even have foundations and you don't even have any children? Yeah, but God's going to make a great nation after me. It's going to be so much like the sand of the sea and the stars in the sky. Okay, Abraham. I don't think you're well. Learn to walk by faith. You'll understand what the world will never understand about your life. Verses 4 and 5, this is how you make an acceptable offering, is you have to put the faith in it. Can I sort of throw a little caveat in here? Every January, we talk about faith promise offering. Do you really pray about what God wants you to give? Oh, you may. Or do you just say, well, I think I could squeeze out two extra dollars. Or do you let God put on your heart what he wants you to do? So there's a big difference. By faith, we understand God's will, and by faith, we do what is acceptable. In verse 6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Teenagers, you'll never please God without living by faith. You know what the opposite of living by faith is? Living by sight. As long as you live life, okay, I can see that. I can understand that. That's the safe way. You'll never find God's will. It's impossible to please God without faith. God usually sticks an element in his will that looks just like impossible. Understand that. Don't be afraid of it. The following verses accelerate and they give a lot of examples. It talks about, first of all, Noah, by faith, saved his whole house from being destroyed. Do you realize that if you live by faith, it'll affect everybody you love? The next verses talk about Abraham and his wife. And you know what? We've been talking about men, but in these verses, it talks about Abraham's wife named Sarah. And it gives her like three or four verses. And you know what it says? She obeyed God to seek an invisible blessing. She obeyed God to get an invisible blessing. There's a warning in the midst of this. And the warning comes in verse 15 and 16. Always have the courage. Let's look at verse 15. I don't want to misquote it. Verse 15. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had the opportunity to return. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared them for a city. What's he talking about? The warning is, once you start walking by faith, don't turn back. Don't turn back. I'm not going to ask anybody here to raise their hand, but have you started to follow the Lord in some area and faltered and went back? Maybe you need to get back in God's will again. Maybe you need to get back in God's will. So take the warning. He goes on. The next one says, he gave everything by faith. The next person, he touched the next generation by faith. The next person, all of his fear was cast away by faith. The next one, he cast away all of his dependence on his ability. The next person brings the riches of Christ, and he makes a choice to choose God over the world. The last one says, it brought salvation to the family. And then he says, it'll bring you to Canaan land. See, what is Canaan land? Let me just explain something to you teenagers, and we're almost finished. The picture of the children of Israel coming out of Egypt is a picture of crossing the Red Sea by faith. That's salvation. As they then quickly go through all the different things, the laws given on the top of the mountain, and within a few months, they're brought to the promised land, but there's giants in that land. That land is a picture of God's blessings on a committed Christian. And all the promises of God and all the good things, the milk and honey flowing and the big grapes, this is what God desires to bless in our life with. But they didn't have the faith to go in. So they voted. They voted, don't go in. So after they saw God throw lightning bolts down and they realized they made a big mistake and all the rest, they tried to re-vote. God said, too late. And do you know what happened to that generation? God sent them in circles in the Sinai Peninsula, in the desert. God took care of them. He brought food and manna and all the stuff, but they never got to go into Canaan land. And everybody above a certain age, about 20 years or old or so, all died out there. The next generation grew up, so now they're the old adults, and they came in under Joshua. Shall we go in? Yes! And they got to move into Canaan land. Were the same giants still in the land? Were the same problems there to overcome? What were they lacking the first time? Faith. Could I suggest to you, teenagers, claim the promises of God that He wants to bring on your life by faith. Serve Him while you're young. Serve Him with all your heart. And serve Him with an eye of faith that sees His will. Let's bow our head, please.